Good morning. I'm nervous. I haven't done this in years. Aside from being a 1967 BAFTA and Academy Award-winning film starring Spencer Tracy, Sidney Poitier, and Katharine Hepburn, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner is an annual TUMSE event. The event begins with planners putting out a call for folks in our community to sign up to be either hosts or guests on a given Sunday afternoon. Hosts don't know who's coming to their house until they show up at their door and on the designated date, and guests only receive an email with an address in it. This mystery event, I think, is very popular. I know I have been both a host and a guest through the decades, and always enjoyed sharing a meal with people I might not otherwise spend time with. Given the choice, would you rather be the host or the guest? When you are a host, are you more like Mary or Martha? I personally oscillate between the two sisters' approaches, even though Jesus clearly stated that Mary chose what was better. As the co-host, Mary elected to spend time with Jesus, her guest, rather than bustle about with preparations. Our summer 2026 theme is the Peace Table. The worship committee challenged speakers this summer to reflect on the idea that, and I'm going to quote, "It's good to eat together. A shared table helps us take turns cooking, cleaning, serving, resting, nourishing, delighting, conversing, and remembering. A banquet table is where all are welcome, is one of the most potent symbols of God's beloved community," end quote. So that was the challenge. A quick DuckDuckGo search for Bible verses on hospitality definitely recognizes this. Pastor David on BibleStudyForYou.com writes, and I quote, "Hospitality is an important aspect of our faith as Christians. It speaks to how we welcome others into our lives and homes, showing kindness and care as Jesus did. Hospitality goes beyond mere entertainment. It's about creating a loving space for those who may need it, including friends, family, or even strangers. When we open our hearts and homes to others, we reflect God's love and grace," end quote. I don't disagree with this online guy with only one name, yet hospitality is practiced and even perfected by people of other faiths and people of no particular faith. It's not just a Christian thing. Islam presents hospitality as more than etiquette. It is moral and spiritual responsibility. The Quran focuses on generosity, tenderness, and respect of the guest as a way of worship. Hospitality acts are an act of faith and solid social relationships. The Quran emphasizes the need to treat the guest with respect. These teachings compel Muslims to receive visitors in a warm, patient, and loving character and transform the normal hospitality into a religious practice. According to Bangladeshi researchers, Dr. M.D. Firdaus Hossein and Musina Akhtar, quote, "Invitation should not be the expression of pride, and it is un-Islamic to selectively invite only the rich." Perhaps some of you, like me, are already humming, I cannot come to the banquet, don't trouble me now. If you know it, you know it. These scholars also note that Islam has given some guidelines for the guest as well as the host. According to a tourist blog, in Indian culture, the ancient Sanskrit phrase, Atithi Devo Bhava, from Hindu scripture, meaning the guest is equivalent to God, reflects the deep respect given to visitors. This belief has shaped social customs, traditions, and everyday behavior across the country. Hospitality is not simply a service offered by hotels and tourism businesses. Instead, it is considered a moral responsibility deeply embedded in Indian society. Hospitality is also considered one of the most important Jewish values. The Talmud even says that welcoming guests is greater than welcoming the divine presence. Christina also reminded us about how indigenous peoples of this land genuinely and generously welcomed newcomers. Stories abound about how, without the help of First Nations neighbors, immigrants would not have survived the geography and climate of Turtle Island. Even when colonizers failed to be good guests, Indigenous hosts continued to be open-hearted. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitalities to angels without even knowing it." Our dear online friend, Pastor David, outlined 8 components for hosting: welcoming others, serving others, sharing warmth, taking care of needs, creating fellowship, praying for others, kindness and generosity, and unity in action. He goes on to say, "We all know the importance of making others feel welcome. It's an act of love that honors God, who welcomes us all as God's children. In our journey of faith, we are reminded to extend a hand to those around us. These Bible verses about hospitality encourage us to open our doors and open our hearts to welcome others. By doing so, we emulate the love that Christ showcases in our lives." Are you starting to see a theme of the importance of providing hospitality, no matter where in the world you live or what religious teachings you follow? Hospitality is described as reflecting divine love, honoring God, an act of religious practice, a moral responsibility, and a core value. There's so much the Bible has to say about why we should be good hosts, and emulating Christ seems to be right up there. Treating people with respect is core to good human relations and peace. I once saw a poster that showed texts from about 20 different religions that are all equivalent to the golden rule that we know from Matthew 7. "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." In Acts 20:35, Luke the evangelist writes, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remember the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" So far, so good. It's important to be a good host for all of these many reasons. Yet, how does that fit with my experiences in West Africa, where the tables seem to be turned on their head? Not literally, of course, but in value. In much of Canadian culture, it is the hosts who are praised and recognized for their efforts. Overtly or not, guests acknowledge that homes have been tidied, menus have been planned and executed to the best of the cook's abilities, maybe even with special ingredients. The table has been laid. The mental effort has gone into organizing the event. Hosts do the work, hosts get the praise. They might even receive a small gift from their invitees. Were you taught not to show up empty-handed? I know I was. The Quran's rules about being a guest don't mention a hostess gift at all, and neither does the Bible that I can see. Have we made sharing a meal transactional by bringing a bouquet of flowers or a bottle of wine? Are we allowing hosts to take full responsibility and receive full blessing by offering to bring a salad? On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most vociferous, after a shared meal in Burkina Faso, the thank you from guests to host is down here. Maybe a 3 on the scale. It's really quite underwhelming. Comparatively, the thanks to guests are up here, definitely a 10 out of 10. At first I was confused, and I probably made many a cultural faux pas. Were my thanks to our guests effusive enough? Definitely not in the beginning, when my appreciation for our visitors was probably non-existent. After all, according to my upbringing, I was the one who did all the preparation and provided the meal. So why should I thank the others for just showing up and eating? Why indeed? But let's look again at what the scriptures say. Maybe there's something that justifies the Burkinabe tradition. 1. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. If we believe this, then the giver or host is the one who is blessed. Our guests are providing the opportunity for us to be blessed by God. What a great hostess gift is that? Of course we should thank our guests exuberantly for allowing us to receive this blessing. 2, and remember the Hebrews verse that says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it? Which of us would not wish to be visited by, let alone serve, an angel? Might it be true that you've already hosted an angel? If we don't open our doors, maybe we won't get this chance. There are many other Bible verses that encourage us to invite strangers into our lives and homes. Some people believe that Christ visits us in the form of strangers. Finally, I think that we aren't the true hosts at all when we invite others. The abundance in our lives is from God, and we are sharing it as commanded. Taking credit would be wrong. Instead, we can accept the joy of sharing because we have guests to share it with. Jesus reminded Martha that few things were actually needed to host him. We can aim to be more like Mary and relish the presence of the guests at our tables without stressing over the details. If we enjoy the company of our guests, hopefully we don't feel the need to be recognized for our efforts as hosts. Back to that 1967 movie. How many have seen it? Guess who's coming to dinner? Not everybody. Okay. So, a spoiler town synopsis says, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner is, at its heart, a drama about love, race, there's that word again, and generational perspectives, packaged in the framework of an intimate family story. Released during the height of the U.S. civil rights movement, the film became a cultural milestone. When the daughter of a liberal, upper-middle-class white couple surprises her parents by bringing home her black fiancé, all kinds of emotions come to the surface. The white parents' lifelong teachings of equality are tested when given the ultimatum that the engagement would be called off if the parents weren't supportive. Subsequently, the fiancé's parents and a local priest are also included in the dinner invitation, much to the maid's consternation. Despite the initial shock over the interracial relationship, both mothers fairly quickly side with the young couple. But the fathers are not convinced. In a time when interracial marriages were illegal in 14 states, the white father is conflicted, stuck between his ideals and the reality of society's prejudices. Across racial lines, the young man's mother, a guest, reminds the young woman's father of the love he felt toward his wife before he became a crotchety old man just filled with worries. The wisdom of his unexpected guest brought about a change of heart, and he ultimately shares that he wholeheartedly supports the young couple's plans to marry. The film ends with the families sitting down together for dinner, signaling acceptance, unity, and a hopeful step toward progress. I would warrant that in a situation with so much tension and debate, love won out and it became a peace table. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. May all our guests bring peace to our shared tables. Amen.